Welcome.
What's up, everybody?
Nothing much. You over here trying to tell me what to do like it's the 1960s.
Talking about telling me what to do, I should have gone to the Chris Brown concert. He's coming tonight.
Is he the one that beat up Rihanna?
Allegedly.
Yeah, well, she hit first.
I mean, shoot, man.
Hit him first? Yeah. Well, that's just equality, man.
Let those feminist fists fly.
Yeah, you can't claim that you want men and women to be equal and then as a woman get upset when a man beats the shit out of you.
Fiery fists right. of feminism.
Right. It's all about equality here on the Colorado Show.
Feminazis rule with a black eye, bitch.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Colorado Show. It is your midweek lunch break here in the Centennial State and the most serious news show in Colorado. Not actually, because there is no serious news here. It's all communist propaganda. How you guys doing?
Democinism. Yeah. So,
all right.
Karen, you look like you're on a bridge. Don't jump.
No. You know what? I definitely felt a little out of sorts. Just, you know, somebody hit my car, so I'm...
Your new car?
Yep.
Oh, how?
I was watching YouTube Saturday night. No, I was just sitting there watching YouTube, and I heard a big...
like outside your house, somebody hit your car?
Holy crap.
Was it illegal?
No, thankfully. He had insurance. Yeah, if it was one of them, you know, I'd be pretty much screwed, but
There's always the Sonata.
Right. Oh, that happened too. That was 2022. Yeah, that illegal. He literally hit me and So here we go again.
Is it totaled?
I'm not sure yet. I don't know what they're going to do with it.
Was he drunk?
No, he wasn't drunk. He was just, you know, he looked like one of those dudes who's like, lives in his parents' basement, wears pajamas through Walmart at 11:30 at night. So he was poor.
I mean, that's not a bad time.
I know. It's like, I don't live in my parents' basement, but I have been known to rock pajamas at Walmart late at night. So
that's the best.
Well,
that's
man, that's when Walmart nobody's there.
Yeah.
No, hate us because you ain't us.
Well, where the Walmart that I know of, that's where all the strippers, when they get off work, that's when they go shopping.
Stop. For their kids, strippers' babies gotta have shoes.
They gotta have. They have toys and sneakers.
Right, right.
toys and Air Shacks, Air Shaquilles.
All right. Well, we have a little show prepared. We've got some news coming out. There was a shooting at the ICE facility. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We've got President Trump trolling everyone again, which is very exciting. Some developments in the Tina Peters case. So we're going to talk about what that looks like and some other things. We had a deadly lightning strike out here, which is a good reminder to people about respecting our nature here in the Centennial State. But before we get into all of that, we're going to hear from our incredible sponsors. We will be right back.
If you haven't noticed, gold has reached a new high, all-time highs, actually. And keeps going up every day. Why is that? It's because precious metals are a long-time historical store of value. And if you own a portfolio and you have assets in the fiat currencies, i.e. stocks, bonds, cash, or whatever, you're vulnerable to hyperinflation, which is coming as our debt explodes another trillion every 90 days. It's really scary. So how do you protect yourself? Go to Advisor Metals. If you look on any of our CDM.press sites, about halfway down, there's an ad for Advisor Metals. Click on it, fill out the form for your contact info, and Ira Bashatsky will contact you and talk to you. It's an easy conversation. There's no sales pitch. He's completely verified by us. He has a regulatory background we've checked into. We've checked with his bankers. We've checked with his IRA custodians for metals. and we can highly recommend Advisor Metals and ERA. So go to Advisor Metals. If you call them directly, tell them we sent you at CDM, and he'll definitely take care of you. But protect your portfolio, because you really need to. It's coming. Thank you.
I'm David Cross, and you may know me from my election integrity work, but I also own U.S. Asset Management, a family-owned and operated investment advisory practice. I'm a certified portfolio manager, and my job is to help you make better decisions with your money. One of the things we try to avoid is investing in companies that push the woke agenda. If you're invested with one of the big firms out there, there's a pretty good chance that you're feeding the beast that hates your values. Our company is 100% conservative, and we'd love to have an opportunity to work with you. Check us out at us-am.com and look for our big, proud American Eagle logo.
Psst. Your government doesn't care about you. That's why you need a medical emergency kit. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, CPAC, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
And we are back.
Indeed. Indeed we are. And Karen's on a bridge. Oh, shit.
I'm back.
Excellent. Don't jump.
I shall not.
It's not that bad.
I have to live to fight another day.
Yeah. We need you. We need you in this fight.
Thank you. I need to be in it.
Bastards. Absolutely. All right. So trolling first, President. This is from Simon Atiba on X. President Trump has a, what did you call this?
It's the wall of, it's the presidential wall. What do they call it? What's the actual term for it? Let's see what Simon called it.
It's the wall of presidents. We got Reagan.
Is it the wall of heroes or something?
We got Bill Clinton, George Bush, Barack Obama, President Trump.
It's called the Presidential Walk of Fame.
The auto pen. President Trump again.
I love my president. Good God Almighty. I love my president so much.
Impressive.
Shit on these people.
It's in the White House.
Lord.
It's a fair assessment.
You know, I love how they whine about the First Amendment and everything else, and they say he's mean. All the crap they've done to us and said about us the last 10 years, and he doesn't have a right to troll them?
Yeah.
I find that repulsive.
I'm here for it. And the thing about it is, the reason they're mad is because they're not as funny. If they were as funny, then they wouldn't be so mad about it.
Which is odd, since they're the supposedly the party of joy.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that. Wow.
Remember that narrative deployment?
We are
the party of joy.
Oh yeah, jazz hands.
Burning everything down, suing everybody for speech, freaking out. Right. Trump deranged, absolute nonsense. But they did try that whole joy thing. The people that are celelebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk are the party of joy.
Yeah, they're lunatic.
Golly.
These aren't spirit fingers. These are spirit
fingers.
Bring it on. You quoting the movie? You're quoting the cheerleading classic epic film Bring It On to me?
It was classic.
Oh my God. This is the whitest you've ever been, Darren.
That was black people in the movie. Lots of them.
There are. Yeah, the black cheerleading squad, the black high school has the best.
The Clovers.
They're the ones
the Clovers,
to beat.
Okay.
The Clovers,
The Compton Clovers.
That's right.
Starring D. Wade's wife.
Oh, I love that movie. I might go back and watch Kirsten Dunst as head cheerleader. Such a good film.
Starring Dwayne Wade's wife. Yeah.
Can't believe you just quoted Bring It On.
Nice.
Our spirit fingers.
Okay.
And they're doing the hanging thing.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
I'll have to watch that. I've never seen it.
Count your blessings.
You've never seen
much.
Bring It On, so there's like three of them.
It's good, but you're not going to die if you don't see it.
You know? Right.
You might.
One movie that you must see before you die is Heavyweights with Ben Stiller.
That I haven't seen. We need to find hold for processing. We're gonna find a trailer. Colorado. We're actually gonna do trailers of both.
Heavyweights is classic.
All right, so we're gonna compare the trailers. First, we're going to do Bring It On.
Oh gosh,
Aaron has not seen it.
Have not seen it. I've seen the advertisements, but. And even I think it was a cheerleading movie.
This is officially this is no longer the Colorado show. This is a derailment show.
Oh my god, I'm so excited. Tell you, I've never been
on the crazy train.
All right, so first up, we have the Bring It On official trailer.
The five-time national cheerleading champion, the Mighty
Toro. Jan's got spirit. How about you, dude? You just lost.
Ever been to a cheerleading competition? We're the best. We have fun, we work hard, and we win national championships.
Maybe we should join the squad.
Of course. You ripped off those cheers.
We have a problem.
About what?
We're in trouble.
I swear I had no idea.
I know you didn't think a white girl made it up. We've had the best squad around for years, but no one's been able to see what we can do. But you better believe all that's going to change this year.
Can we
my gosh.
Down so I can go home.
We might have to have a rumble.
We can't go to regionals with a stolen routine. This isn't about cheating. This is about winning.
Enough. Now we finally have a chance to truly be the most inventive. Let's do this.
You want to make it right? Then when you go to nationals, bring it.
I'll bring it. Don't worry.
We need a new routine, something amazing and fresh.
All right, now let's do this, Clover.
Oh my god. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, must watch.
Very interesting movie.
All right. So then what did you say? Heavyweights?
Heavyweights.
All right. Hold on. Because I haven't seen that one. So we'll see if it can even compare
It is shitting on Bring It On.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Oh, no way. Oh, that sounds fun. All right. Hold on. Here we go.
Far from the everyday world, there is a place. A place where big.
Congratulations, Mr. Sims. You are the fattest boy in camp.
Is beautiful.
Tip my download!
And then isn't it?
This is definitely not sanitary.
For Jimmy and his friends, it was a dream come true. Until the new owner.
That is. Here, mister!
Oh no.
Turned it into a nightmare.
Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle.
Now, after 6 weeks of frustration.
Then we're gonna climb that 1,000 foot rock face over there.
Starvation.
There isn't a gummy bear left in this entire camp.
And humiliation.
Nice swing, you fat tubbo.
Everyone having fun?
Jerry's out to do something far more important than lose a few pounds.
I have a plan.
He's out to gain respect.
What is going on?
You can't kidnap the owner of a camp.
Welcome to the annual Apache Relay. What in the world?
And it's about time we started acting that way.
Take them down, Cappy.
Walt Disney Pictures presents a comedy for every kid.
Tell me the artist and title, please.
Cher?
Da Vinci's Mona Lisa.
Tired of taking it.
I'm so slow. It would have been cool to go fast.
And ready to dish it out. Heavyweights.
Classic.
Oh my!
You gotta watch it. I'm telling you, you gotta watch it. And it's even funnier as an adult because when you're a kid, there's a lot of shit you don't notice.
Oh, I got it. I hear you. Okay.
Yeah, when you're a kid, there's a lot of stuff in there. You'd be like, did I watch? Like, what? Like, did they really just say that?
Yeah, I never heard of that. So we'll have to watch that one too. My money is on Bring It On being a better film.
Oh my God.
You're gonna lose. I'm telling you. When you see Ben Stiller in this movie,
he is
a total retard.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
He's a character actor of a total retard.
Yes, he is
in every film.
He's like a mix of like a horror film, bad guy and Richard Simmons.
Nice.
It's hilarious. It is hilarious.
All right.
Give it a shot. We'll report back next week on the Colorado show to see which film is better. So scraping
not sure.
The bottom of the barrel. All right. So Darren, you brought this up, and then we'll get into more of the Colorado news after this. But there's a ICE shooter in Dallas today. Actually, let me see if we give a setup on that. Hold for processing.
Yeah, apparently another Antifa.
One of them. One of the fiery but mostly peaceful protesters.
It's awesome how they held their fire while Biden was allegedly president, the so-called ruler of the United States.
Right. Yeah, 4 years. We didn't see or hear from them. They were underground. And now they've resurfaced. Ooh. Antifa. Yeah, they were quiet. They were relatively quiet for the whole time Biden was there because they had, you know, their supreme leader who was a corpse in office.
So they got to act the fool. Yeah.
I mean, you're giving them a lot of grace there. I think they weren't being paid to, you know, burn
riot,
down the country
burn down, yeah.
while the people that want to burn down the country were in power and burning down the country metaphorically through the system changes that they were making. They didn't need Antifa then.
Well, they're about to prosecute the Chinese guy that funds all this stuff. I forgot his name.
Singh. Last name is Singh.
Yeah.
Bindar Singh or something like that.
Yeah.
Living in China.
Anna Paulina Luna was just on the news talking about that. Like
they've
already started digging into his. I think they've like frozen some of his assets and all that.
Yeah, she's a national hero. That one, Anna Paulina Luna. We never would have known that there was a second gunman on the grassy knoll if it wasn't for her.
No, she has certainly redeemed herself since teaming up with that ugly weirdo, Brittany Pederson.
Oh my, that was when I lost all respect for her, because that was abandoning the JFK hearing to go do a publicity stunt on the House floor about being able to breastfeed and proxy vote. And she teamed up with Brittany Pederson, who is literally one of
literally
the legislators, Colorado legislator.
Disgusting. I can't even. I don't have enough.
Baby prop chick. If you don't know who we're talking about, it's baby prop chick. You'll know her from social media as the woman who makes motherhood appear to be the greatest burden ever. Also, she has a full-time husband, you know, partner, and just couldn't be bothered. And she couldn't find childcare, allegedly. And so she has to show up to hearings and publicity stunts, carrying poor little Sam around. Hashtag free Sam.
Poor kid.
So if you stuck had to pick one, this is terrible. I can't even believe I'm gonna say it, but I'm gonna say it. You had to pick one current public figure, not necessarily a government person, just somebody that is a public figure, public eye, that this shooter guy, alleged shooter, because this is, you know, breaking news on the day of the shooting, which we usually can't trust
any of. Black.
He ain't black. He's very white.
No, he looks like Jack Black without the beard.
Yeah. So if you had to pick one public figure that you think this guy looks like a young version of, who would it be?
Jack Black.
I can see that a little bit.
Or Chris Farley.
I was going to go with a young Tucker Carlson.
That too. Yeah.
What do you think, Karen?
I'm with the Jack Black thing. He does look, though in another picture, a more recent one, he's a little chunkier. So he doesn't look like anybody.
Is that he or she?
Except the cast of Heavyweights.
Yeah, yeah. Is that a he or do they identify as a she?
Is it a they, them?
Is it a, yeah? Is it a Z Zildjian?
Laura Loomer with the latest. And Darren, you sent this to us, but Laura Loomer says, I did a background check on Joshua John, the ice shooter in Dallas. Joshua John's profile picture from his now wiped Facebook page per the background check check results reveals Antifa and communist imagery. The profile photo is of an armed communist with the hammer and sickle. The text reads, glorious exposition, comrades. Comrade. He also has previous conviction for selling marijuana. Proof this is leftist political violence against ICE officers. And you can see the profile picture over on the left. Looks like a caricature of someone holding a gun with a communist hat on. You've got the hammer and sickle in the background. Why was his Facebook page wiped immediately? That's a good question. And this is apparently his $3,500 fine for criminal possession or trafficking of marijuana. So more leftist violence.
Yep, absolutely. More leftist violence. It's like they've all been activated or something to that effect.
All assets deployed.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's a bad shot because he hit migrants. He hit the detainees, like freaking idiot.
Oh, don't save us some
I
money.
Bet he regrets that.
Somebody
probably wasn't what he
was. Somebody didn't go to the range before he decided to pull this stunt.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Well, they should have self-deported.
Yeah, they should have self-deported. They were given ample opportunity to self-deport. That's what the CBP Home app is for now. It's for you to go the fuck home.
Yeah, that was actually
Not
Lauren
make our
Bobert
country your home. Not a free pass to stay here and make our country your home until you get a hearing in 2033 where you can say, oh, no, but I've lived here for 10 years and I'm a good citizen, so I should get to stay. No. CBP Home app, you sign up and you go home.
And you dip, yeah.
$1,000. That's like 10,000 in your country, wherever the hell you're from. You can't stay here. We don't want you. You are not welcome. We need our country back for our citizens. Go yo ass home. You ain't got to go home, but you got to get the hell out of here. Call Tyrone. You need to call Tyrone.
And tell him, come on, help you get your shit.
Come on.
Hallelujah. The CBP One app is officially heretofore branded as Tyrone. Call Tyrone, get your shit, and get out.
But you get out. Use my phone.
Such a king. Shout out to Erica Badu.
Thank you, Miss Erica.
Badu.
Yes. Let's see here. Go home.
Here we go.
Welcome back, Captain Brad. It has not gotten more serious since you've been away.
Thanks, Ty, as well. Let's see. Good afternoon. Good afternoon to you.
Queen Bee.
Joy who?
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, yeah. Party of Joy Reed and Behar is what they are.
Yeah. The joyless. The joyless twins.
The joyless. Absolutely. So it's interesting, right? We've got movement happening a little bit.
It's every day. Did y'all notice that every day? Like yesterday, I got a notification from, was it The Economist or Daily Mail? One of them, there was a shooting, active shooter at shopping mall. It's like every single day, every day there is some crank bar leftist has lost their shit.
They gotta let the chaos ensue because they have to be able to say like, well, this happened on Trump's watch. That's the goal. But the problem is they live in a bubble and they don't realize that people are seeing this and they're not stupid, right? So you know what's so fascinating? Since January, Democrats have lost 160,000 voters.
At least. That's what we're allowed to know about, which means it's probably 10 times at minimum.
Now, in the past, 4 years, what are they down, like 2.5 million?
We don't know. And the reason we don't know is because our election systems are manipulated bullshit. Our voter rolls are packed full. I was looking at some, we're going to talk a little bit about the Tina Peters case because there's some movement in that case and there's new filings. And the one of the new filings goes back to the allegations about Venezuelan election systems that were made in the wake of the 2020 election. You remember the affidavits and testimony and things that were filed in Sidney Powell's case that was thrown out. It was never able to get before a judge. And that's coming up again. And I was reading through some of those filings earlier today. And when you consider that in 2003, 2004, 2005 in Venezuela, and then in the Philippines, where in both of those places, the manipulation of these voting systems was found as a matter of law. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's not that didn't happen. People are making that up. It was investigated. It was found. I believe it was prosecuted, certainly in the Philippines. I believe also in Venezuela. Then the source code and the systems were sold a bunch of times, right? It became Sequoia, sold to Dominion. But one of the things that stands out is that in the architecture and operation to manipulate elections in Venezuela, the padded voter rolls were a critical component. They have to have the whole bunch of extra people to be able to make the election outcome appear legitimate. So then you get into, why is it that we can't have voter ID? Why is it that people don't have to show ID to vote? Why is it that there can be no questions about voter registration? We're told that this is in the Kansas Supreme Court last year or the year before. There was a case, League of Women Voters versus, I forget the names, it was the Republicans that were in charge in the state of Kansas. And League of Women Voters filed a lawsuit about a number of different aspects of the law that was passed by Republicans that they said was unconstitutional. And one of the things that they challenged was the verification that you are who you are to get a mail-in ballot. They were actually arguing that signature verification is an unnecessary poll tax on voters because they've proven who they are when they registered to vote. So they should not have to prove who they are again when they show up to vote, because that's an unnecessary barrier to voting. This is an argument that people are actually making. Now, they weren't successful. The Kansas Supreme Court was like, GTFO, and one of the justices dissented and wrote in support of League of Women Voters' argument that we should not be requiring signature verification on mail-in ballots because it's an unnecessary poll tax. Now, think about what that means. The voters were sold mail-in ballots as a secure way to vote because the post office can prove chain of custody, and there's a signature on the envelope that proves that the vote is coming from the person who is registered to vote under that voter ID. The signature is the single control that keeps them, and it doesn't really, but it on paper keeps them from just dropping ballots from the sky and counting all of them, from having people be able to just, you know, have stacks and stacks of ballots and put them in. The control against that mail-in ballot being fraud is signature verification, and they're trying to get rid of it. They're trying to prevent any sort of voter ID, any sort of validation of eligibility to vote. Why? Because the voter rolls are incredibly corrupted here. We have the air in by here, I mean America, but certainly here in Colorado, where we have the ERIC system. We're one of the founding states of ERIC. ERIC system is a NGO that passes eligible but unauthorized voters to states. And they absolutely include non-citizens in their data transmission. So ERIC will send a batch of potentially eligible but unregistered voters to the state of Colorado. And the state of Colorado will then run that up against their DMV records and Social Security records and a number of other data sets. ERIC, the system, does nothing to tell states, hey, we're sending you this batch of voters, and there's also a significant percentage of them that aren't citizens, but guess which ones? And we rely on our systems to then validate the information coming from ERIC. And spoiler alert, doesn't always work. That's how we ended up with 30,000 postcards going out to non-citizens, encouraging them to register to vote. And the Secretary of State's office says, well, nobody registered to vote. So it was totally fine. It's not a big deal. Our systems caught it. But when you get down to the root cause of why that happened in the first place, data coding mismatch, between the ERIC system and our DMV database here in Colorado. This is duct tape and popsicle sticks technology, and it is used to, in my opinion, based on all the information available, commit mass fraud, defraud the voters of Colorado and every state that participates, to lead to this plausible deniability manipulation of our democracy. And I say that tongue in cheek.
Right, right. It's democracy TM.
Exactly. Democinism.
Democinism. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So in the, we'll just go to the Tina Peters case since we're already talking about the election issue. On September 17th, let me go before that. I think it was September 3rd. Tina Peters had the hearing where, or August 3rd, maybe. She had a hearing. It was not in September. I think it was back in August. She had a hearing where she made First Amendment claims that she was being unlawfully detained because of her speech. Now, in that hearing, at the beginning of it, there was a bunch of other stuff that they were pleading on her behalf. And there was a back and forth between the judge and her counsel saying, you know, there's a whole bunch of different claims here. Some of them have not been exhausted at the state level. This is before federal court, and Tina's case is a state case. So this is a somewhat unprecedented thing that's happening here with this case. So the judge, basically at the end of that hearing, we got down to Tina Peters potentially has a viable First Amendment claim that can be heard
potentially.
I'll get into why it's potentially that can be heard in federal court. But the other things that she was pleading in her petition are still in the process of being litigated at the state level. They're, you know, before the appeals court or not quite to the Supreme Court, et cetera. And so those were not able to be brought in federal court because they have not been fully exhausted at the state level. I'm not saying this is right. I'm saying this is what the court said.
Right.
So we ended that hearing with the, I think the first thing that was asked was for the parties to brief the court on how the court had jurisdiction to do what they were asking. Because again, it's a state case. She was convicted at a state level. She brought her motion for bond pending appeal to the Colorado Court of Appeals. And the Colorado Court of Appeals said, the Colorado Court of Appeals said that her speech, her lies, I believe is the word that they used, her lies are incredibly dangerous to the community. So she can't be let out while she's moving
nuts.
For appeal. And this is a completely nonviolent crime. She's not in power any longer, right? They removed her from her office and they've elected a new clerk now. And so it's not like she can go back in and, you know, let other people into the office to see the election machines or whatever. It's literally her speech. Her speech and her telling the story of why she did what she did and what she found, what the experts found when they analyzed the images, all of that. That is a very dangerous threat to our community. So Tina Peters needs to remain locked up. That's what the Colorado Court of Appeals said. And that is the grounds for this unprecedented request for relief from the federal court. So the judge said at the end of that hearing, tell me how I can do this. I want to see the briefing on, show me the cases where this has been done before. I don't believe there are any. Brief the court on the jurisdiction and ability to do this. So that happened, and it's been, I think, around 6 weeks since that happened. And now on September 17th, the court asked for briefing specifically on the First Amendment claim. So brief the merits of the First Amendment claim. So what that tells me is that the judge has reconciled the jurisdictional question. I don't believe the judge has actually come out and said that, but I think he's gotten there, at least in his own head. So the minute order ordering that briefing said, hold for processing so I can read this.
I would just like to insert, Trendy Aragua is not violent, but Tina Peters is. Please continue.
Major threat, right? Not a major threat. Not even like Trendy Aragua is an extreme example. What about that Solomon creepy ass crackhead guy that they let out over and over again that kept trying to steal Ashley Larry? Yeah. That kept trying to steal kids. He's not a threat to the community, but Tina Peters talking about elections is. All right. So on the docket, September 17th, 2025, docket entry number 67, minute order by Magistrate Judge Scott T. Varholak. It is ordered.
Hold on, Scott, what?
Varholak.
That's a weird name.
V-A-R-H-O-L-A-K. And it's Magistrate Judge, so anything that he decides has to be, I believe, vetted by a district judge. And anything he says, you know, this is what I'm going to order, it has to be, I believe, blessed by a district court judge. It is ordered that within 14 days, respondents are directed to file an answer in compliance with Rule 5 of the Rules Governing Section 2254 cases that fully addresses the merits of petitioner's remaining claim. It is further ordered that within 14 days of filing of the answer, petitioner may file a reply if she desires. It is further ordered that the party shall attach their briefing to their briefing any additional records not already filed with the court that are relevant to the petitioner's asserted claim. So that's really interesting because the court is not stuck on the jurisdictional question, and that's already been fully briefed. So August 21st, the judge asked for the briefing on the jurisdictional question. Sorry, it was August 3rd was the hearing that we covered. I live tweeted that one. And the judge asked in that hearing for briefing on the jurisdiction. Now, on the 17th, the judge has asked for briefing on the merits. So that's a good thing. It seems like the judge has resolved the jurisdictional question and wants to hear the arguments now. It's good for Tina, I would think. Then what happened? So September 21st, Terpsihore Maris, who is Tori Says, she's a podcaster, goes by Tori Says, she filed a motion to file an amicus brief. And I've skimmed it. I haven't had a chance to read it, but I've looked at it and it looks, I think, similar to the amicus brief that she filed or the affidavit that she filed in the Sidney Powell 2020 election case. Now, again, I haven't read the full thing or, you know, gotten into the details of it, but she has filed that. The court has asked the parties to, you know, affirm or reject, object to that motion to file the brief. So that's still pending as to whether or not her amicus brief will be accepted. And then yesterday, Tina Peters' counsel filed a, let me say this right, notice of filing sworn testimony with two exhibits, a transcript of EUO confidential witness. I think it's, and I could be wrong about this because I haven't read the second one. I've only read the first one, but I think it's the same witness and his testimony is in two parts, but the witness is from Venezuela. He's a member of the Venezuelan National Election Council in 2003, 2004, 2005 timeframe, and is talking about the source code, the parties and interests that came together to develop the SAES election tool. It's a whole bunch of stuff. So we are getting into not just the briefing, not just the merits of Tina Peters for, I mean, the so let me back up. The appellate court said her getting out of prison is very dangerous because of what she will say. That is a...
That's insane.
It is. It is. Not because of what she will do, not because she is violent or dangerous in any way other than they say she's going to lie and her lies are going to be very dangerous. Now, what would her lies be? Her lie, the very dangerous speech is that our elections are rigged. So to brief on the merits of the First Amendment claim, they have to say how what she's saying isn't a lie. And that means that they have to bring evidence of election fraud into the court before the judge. And that is what we're seeing in these recent filings over the past 4 days, is that between Tori's affidavit and the briefing that, and again, I haven't read Tori's full affidavit. I skimmed it. I read the old one that she did back in 2020, but I skimmed this one and I'm going to read it more this afternoon. But I did read the first transcript that was sent over or that was attached to Tina Peters' brief, which was again filed yesterday. And we're getting into the briefing on the merits of election fraud. It is fascinating to me how this is coming up in a First Amendment claim. The reason this is before a federal court, and I don't think the court can just be like, no, I'm not going to hear this, because the question is, are her constitutional rights, protected constitutional rights, being violated by the state courts here? The answer is obviously yes. Sounds like the judge has resolved the matter of jurisdiction, so he's going to hear the merits. Now the merits are coming in, and it is, our election system is rigged. That's the lie, alleged lie, right? I'm not saying it's a lie. I think it's 100% true. But the lie that she's going to tell that's so dangerous that she has to remain locked up, it's the truth about our election system.
The gold standard.
Does she have good representation?
So she has Peter Tichtin is the, I think, lead counsel. The one filed this is John Case. He represented her at trial and has represented her in a number of different hearings and things that have happened. I know John Case is 100% focused on getting her out. I've talked to him a few times in, over the past several months, and that's his number one focus, is getting her out. And this is an effort to get her out. So he's the signer on these. In terms of her overall the strategic response to the case, I think it's Peter Tichtin, who went to military school with President Trump and has represented President Trump in the past. So, okay. Yeah, I mean, I think she's got as good a counsel as anyone. And very interesting to me, because we're not just talking about the persecution of Tina Peters. We're talking about the why of the persecution of Tina Peters. And the why of the persecution of Tina Peters is that Tina Peters was a massive threat because she was exposing the truth about their election systems. They told everyone to back up the election records. It's part of the process. They have to do it, but they want you to back up the election records exactly the way that they tell you to do it. And they tell you, this is how we do it. And you don't have to worry about that other stuff, like those back-end databases and the system logs and all of these things. You don't have to worry about that stuff. We have decided what you have to back up in order to be compliant with HAVA and compliant Help America Vote Act, federal law, and compliant with state law. We've decided that you need to do the backup this way. Now, Tina Peters said, well, I'm going to back up the whole thing. I'm paraphrasing, and I don't know that Tina Peters ever said that, but this is like, you know, the Ash summary of what happened.
Right.
Like, we're going to back up the whole thing.
Cliff notes. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to back up the whole thing. So she
no trusted build.
Yep. The trusted build. And there were other counties that put off doing their trusted builds because they didn't trust crazy eyed Jenna Griswold that what she was saying was true when she said, oh, no, just do it this way. Yeah, we're going to wipe all your machines and we're going to wipe everything. But it's totally fine because we've backed up everything that has to be backed up as required by law. Okay, well, I don't trust you, Jenna Griswold, so I want to back up all of it. Oh, no, now you're doing 9 years. And again,
right,
Jenna Tina Peters was not convicted of hacking elections, of leaking passwords, of manipulating votes, of breaching election equipment. None of that is what she was charged with or convicted of. The charges that carry the weight in her crucible are lying to public officials. Right. It's one lie, four felonies. And that combines together along with, you know, there were some misdemeanors that carried months and a little bit more fines. But the bulk of what put her in prison for 9 years is a misrepresentation of who was in her office to members of Jenna Griswold's office and members of Mesa County IT. Because of that one misrepresentation that Conan Hayes was Jerry Woods, they threw the book at her. And the public narrative about Tina Peters is that she breached elections and put our democracy at risk, et cetera, et cetera. All she did was make a copy. But the copy that she made is incredibly dangerous to the people that are trying to hide the mechanisms of fraud, in my opinion, based on the information available.
So once the fraud is exposed, it's a wrap for all of them. And they know that. So yeah. To them, when they say she's a threat, they mean to themselves,
100%.
Not to the public. There's no threat. She's a 70-year-old Gold Star mother.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They protect people who are not authorized to be here. But her, oh my gosh, she's the most dangerous person who's never even had so much as a parking ticket. Do you know how sick in the head you have to be to believe something so absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, and I think you're spot on, Karen, when they say that the lies that she will tell are very dangerous to our community. What they're actually saying is that what Tina Peters is going to say, and by the way, back up with evidence, because they can't get those images back. Those images that Tina Peters took were put up on torrents and downloaded by everybody. They've been analyzed by experts all over the country. And if people are being honest, they know what's going on with that. They can't get that back. So what they have to do is keep Tina in prison, keep her locked up. So people think, well, we can't even look at that because that was such a breach and such a hack. And they hacked it and manipulated it and did all this stuff to it. So we can't trust it. That's not the reality. That's the narrative. And when they say letting her out is so dangerous to our community because of what she might say, what they mean is she's going to say things to implicate us, and that's going to be very troublesome for us. And the community is going to get really mad at us, and we can't have that. That's my opinion.
Captain Brad Fry is dropping some heat in here.
Oh, what's going on?
Read the comment.
All right. Ticton has all Ed Solomon's analytics going deep into the type of complex numbers and vectors that would be known by Coomer. Ed Solomon's work is fantastic. People should definitely, he's King Solomon on X, and he posts a lot of his analysis up on his page. And there's, you know, videos and Twitter spaces he does. He works, I believe closely with Draza Smith, who I trust completely and think is an absolute hero of the Republic. But definitely check that out. King Solomon on X. Brad also says, Ed promised me yesterday he would update the files with the FBI handlers assigned to him. Nice. Good to see that. Shout out to all of our FBI handlers. Hope you guys are getting good lunch break. Hope you're enjoying the show. At the time, it wasn't illegal, only afterwards to change this to the law. Excellent point, Brad. So Tina Peters, when she took the images, what she did was not unlawful. She has a statutory duty to preserve election records, and she did that. This is why she was not charged with, you know, unlawfully taking the images or breaching equipment or anything like that. That's not among her charges, and that's very important because it's very much among the narrative that they say about her, but it's not among the charges because what she did was perfectly legal when she did it. It's the misrepresentation of Conan Hayes as Jerry Woods that got her in trouble, that allowed them to charge her in the way that they did, that gave her 9 years. That's the thing. Now, if Jenna Griswold did that, and Jenna Griswold had passwords up on her website, same passwords that she accused Tina Peters of leaking back in 2021, the predicate for the outrage against Tina Peters is that Jenna Griswold came out and said that she stole and leaked passwords that to election equipment. That's why a significant number of people in Colorado think that Tina Peters breached voting machines and, you know, committed election interference, election fraud, essentially, because of the narrative that Jenna Griswold deployed when she raided her office. It was not the truth. It was a misrepresentation. And we know that for certain because of the charges and the trial that happened 3 years later. Because it was always bullshit. It was meant to generate public support for them to demonize Tina Peters and by extension, demonize all election deniers and, you know, reinforce the bullshit that we have the gold standard of elections. We're the election fraud test kitchen here, in my opinion. But it wasn't illegal for her. Let me just finish my point real quick, because I don't want to forget what the second part of Brad's point, the reason that I was bringing this up, is that it was not illegal for her to take the image because of the Tina Peters narrative that was deployed very quickly in 2022. They passed the Colorado Election Security Act. It was Senate Bill 22-153. And that bill made my summary of what happened was it took the remaining statutory authorities that clerks had over elections and moved them into the hands of the Secretary of State's office. You are now no longer allowed to back up election records as a clerk in any way other than what Jenna Griswold says you can do. And that's how we end up with the, you know, and it's all gold standard and everything's fine. And also Jenna Griswold had passwords exposed on her website through two election events. When they were found out, they covered it up. They lied to clerks. They claimed they did an investigation and found that there was no breach. They can't possibly have done that because they kept it from the clerks and didn't touch the machines, didn't go to the machines, and the clerks have custody of the machines. So they just lied to us, in my opinion.
Crazy.
But that's where we're at, where we don't have any decentralization of elections any longer because of what they did in the wake of Tina Peters. They changed the law, and they in my opinion, there is no reason for clerks to be elected officials any longer because they don't actually have any trusted authority because Jenna Griswold and her office took it from them.
They just sit there. That's crazy.
She investigated herself and found that she had done nothing wrong. There you go.
And she does repeatedly is what happens.
So you elect these clerks, they get paid a salary, and there's really to do what though? Like, what is this?
To oversee elections and make sure that the data is fine and make sure that there's no breaches and fraud, because they are the trusted elected official responsible, not just for elections. It's elections. It's also DMV motor vehicle stuff, some business stuff in the counties. They're elected to run that domain on behalf of the people with the trust of the people. But with the Colorado Election Security Act, they don't actually have, there's no trust placed in the clerks any longer because all of the trusted activities that are occurring are managed by the Secretary of State.
Insanity.
It was not trustworthy. It really is. You are, Ashes, this has been her coin phrase for years. I must say that Colorado is definitely the fraud test kitchen.
And that's Holly at Altitude that coined that. She wrote it. There's actually, if you go to hollyataltitude.com, there's an article entitled Colorado's Election Fraud Test Kitchen, and she lays out the reason and framework for why we call it that. But yeah, it's spot freaking on, in my opinion. You think about risk limiting audits, right? How they tell J. Alex Halderman is like the election security expert cyber guy for the regime. He's the witness testimony. Expert testimony, expert witness for all of these cases. He was the expert witness in the Curling case in Georgia, in the Antrim case in Michigan, in the Mike Lindell case here in Colorado, the Eric Coomer case. Halderman came in, and his position has evolved over time from these machines are super vulnerable. He was in the movie Kill Chain. Folks will remember Kill Chain came out in the first Trump administration. It was Democrats talking about how vulnerable our election systems are. And Halderman has changed his tune now to say, well, yeah, the machines are vulnerable, but we have paper records and risk limiting audits. And that means that everything is fine. Risk limiting audits piloted here in Colorado. We had all mail-in ballots in 2013. It was a Republican Secretary of State that gave us that. We were mandated to use Dominion voting systems in 2015. Another Republican Secretary of State that executed that. That was a couple counties sued and won. And so they can't mandate that you have to use these systems. Although, because they changed the law under the Colorado Election Security Act, I wonder if they would be able to now.
How did Colorado become like the petri dish of this shit?
So for that, you need to go to YouTube and search up Rocky Mountain Heist.
Yep.
Basically a group of
gang of four.
Group of gay billionaires decided to create a Colorado blueprint for how they could flip our state, and they were very successful.
Wow.
Didn't take that long either. And it's all the California transplants had moved here. So I don't know.
Okay.
Didn't now seem to be sense. Such a difficult task. But it was, I haven't heard from her. Michelle Malkin, she was instrumental in creating that documentary. She lived in Colorado, and I haven't heard from her. I guess they had beat her down so badly. She's been out of the limelight.
Yeah, I had heard that she had some health issues and had kind of stepped out of public life as a result of that, but I don't know for sure. That's all just rumor that I heard. But yeah, I believe she lives in Colorado Springs. And
I highly recommend that documentary for anybody who wants that background. It explains it very, very well.
Yeah, Rocky Mountain Heist. You can find it on YouTube.
Did you say documentary?
She did. We're gonna move past it.
Oh wow, I did. It's one of my weird enunciations of words.
Why Colorado in the crosshairs rather than another state? Like, what was it about Colorado that enticed these people so much to come?
So, well, I mean, I can tell you what I think, right? I think that one, there's an incredible amount of resources here. It is a military stronghold, our state. El Paso County is the only county in the nation that's home to 5 military commands, but we have military commands all over our state. You have all of the DOD contractors with major presences and campuses here in Colorado. So there's a power base here that's important. You also have a significant amount of natural resources, Bureau of Land Management resources. And so there's a crossover, a natural kind of collaboration and partnership with the federal government and the state government. You know, we've talked about the budget issues that we're having here. A big part of that is the changeover of the federal government, because the state of Colorado, you know, 30 to 40% of its budget comes from federal government. So there's a big, you know, a lot of resources. But I also think, Darren, it was easy to do here because it's a live and let live state, incredibly libertarian state where people weren't going to have people pushing back on gay billionaires having a ton of power in Colorado in 2005, because it was very much live and let live. I don't care if they're gay. I don't necessarily want billionaires doing all these changes, but I'm probably going to hold some of my criticism when they're openly gay billionaires, and any criticism that's levied at them is taken as homophobic and you're just this or that. The live and let live libertarian nature of Colorado, I think, was co-opted and perverted. There's a Bible verse, Jude 4, that talks about people that sneak in, and this is talking about the church, but I think it's sort of relevant here. People that sneak in and turn liberty into a license for immorality. You take people's love of liberty and you corrupt it and turn it on its head. That's my personal opinion about what happened. I haven't watched Rocky Mountain Heist in years. I should probably go back and check it out again. But that's how I think they were able to do it here, because it was a very much, you know, live and let live, don't tread on me, I won't tread on you kind of state. And under that banner, with the protection of that kind of libertarian orientation, they became full blown fucking authoritarians, and that's where we are now. And you saw that really come to a head in COVID.
Gotcha. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. So is Lorena Garcia under investigation, or what's going on?
She should be. She just stated that she was Antifa, and they're a terrorist organization now.
Literally,
I think the entirety of the DSA should be under investigation, because they're like the DSA that are in seats of power, right? The ones that are in legislative seats or bureaucratic seats. Well, those people swear an oath, and their DSA platform means openly violating that oath. So I think they should be under investigation. And I think that people that violate their oath and undermine the will of the people, I think those people should be at a minimum put in prison.
All you got to do is look at the legislation over the last year and everything that passed came into effect this year.
I want to do something real fast. I want to give a special shout out to the state of Florida and my governor, Ron DeSantis. Thank you for not letting us go full-blown communistic. We appreciate you. Thank you, Ron. And I want and anybody who makes fun of his boots, go to hell.
Yeah, well, the white ones are this. The white ones were delightful. Yeah, I mean, Darren is Governor Ron DeSantis's biggest fan, so we do have to put up with a little. But he was, Darren is a refugee, right? Born in Aurora, refugee in Florida,
right? So he got out while the getting was good. We're still here fighting the good fight against these demons.
I escaped them there, Aurora, and I will not be forced into membership. Okay.
Yeah.
I would not be a black Venezuelan.
All right. So we have 1 minute left. I just want to hit a couple of, we'll just hit one thing. We'll have an article up later today about the Charlie Kirk Memorial that took place on Sunday. We had Colorado Free Press on the ground there. So we've got some videos and images and a write-up from Charity McPike, who was there for Colorado Free Press. And so we'll have that up a little bit later today. The last thing I just wanted to mention is, I think we talked a little bit last week about the two hunters that were missing, one from Utah, one from North Carolina, came out here. They found wet clothes in their car, figured that they went, they told somebody that they were going after a moose. So figured they came back to the car and then went back out in search of this moose. They got trapped in a storm and, you know, didn't really know what happened to them until last week. Their bodies were recovered and we didn't get a ton of details about that. Yesterday or the day before, they came out and had said it was lightning. They were, you know, I believe the story we're getting is that they were under a tree and I think probably, you know, sitting on the ground. So the rubber on their boots didn't help much because their body was touching the ground. It's a lightning strike. The ground carries a charge. And the two young, these were kids in their 20s. It's really sad. And experienced hunters, skilled hunters that came to Colorado on hunting tourism and have unfortunately passed away. Colorado is one of the top states in the nation for lightning strikes. And as a reminder to anybody that's either coming here to visit the great Rocky Mountain outdoors or anybody that lives here and it's easy to get complacent and apathetic, nature is wild AF. Here you can lose your life in a lot of ways that you probably wouldn't think of. So if you're coming out to Colorado to experience our incredible God's creation, is just, it's like a painting every day here. It's absolutely gorgeous, also incredibly dangerous. I know, Darren, in Florida, you guys probably have similar feelings about people coming out and going to the beach and, you know, then they get pulled up by riptide and drown or, you know, sun poisoning, that kind of stuff. People need to respect the elements and respect nature. And that's kind of how but rest in peace to the two young men that lost their lives here. It's unfortunate, and prayers for their families for sure.
Yeah, there's not, for sure. We don't have too many, like, we have like casualties of the water, but it's not like a rampant thing. One thing I've noticed when I was like a couple of years back, it was like, you guys had a lot of people getting struck by lightning in one year. It was crazy.
Yeah,
I forgot what year that was, but I was like, damn.
We were up in the mountains just a couple of days ago, up near the Continental Divide. Freak hailstorm came from out of nowhere. The hail went on literally for about 10 minutes straight, and I mean pelting. You have to be, if you're coming out here, great, enjoy the scenery, but be prepared for literally anything. I'm not kidding. Freak storm. I was scared.
Move back to Colorado, Darren, they said. Come visit us, Darren, they said. It'll be fun, they said.
Well, I do think the communism is more of a threat than the lightning, but the lightning is also a threat. So everybody respect nature and
because the lightning is communist.
Possibly. We are out of time. So make sure that you hit the like button for us wherever you're watching. Helps us out. We appreciate it. And we will see you guys next Wednesday for your midweek lunch break here on the Colorado Show. Cheers. Mm-hmm.